sigh or two. I would be happy just to hold the hands I love and to be once again with you. To be once again with you.
It's about a half a minute or so after 5 o'clock. Thanks for tuning in to CFRC 101.9 FM, located here in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce, and this is Finding a Voice, a spoken word program airing here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. And we do stream live online as well at www.cfrc.ca. And thanks for staying tuned, or thanks for tuning in at the top of the hour. And just to repeat, so for those of you who maybe didn't catch the first hour, you would have heard the first round of the February 3rd and the Journey Continues open mic at the Elm Cafe. I explained that we did have a bit of difficulty with the recorder, and much of what was recorded was lost, but there were, you would have heard readings there in that first hour by Liz Huntley-Yench, Vicky Langelier, Eric Folsom, Peter Mottner, and me. And then what you would have heard, too, were three cuts off of I believe it came out in 2018. It started in 2014, the Al Purdy songbook. And so you would have heard three tracks off of that. Then you would have also heard three poems off of Stephen Roxborough's Quantum Nostalgia Blues. So I'm going to mention it now, but I'll mention it at the end of the hour again, that I do upload both hours of this show each week. Every week to my personal blog space for it at Finding a Voice on cfrcfm.wordpress.com. They do remain there 3 years, just so you know, so you've got a little bit of time to listen. But in case you missed something or wanted to catch the first hour and didn't catch it, there's still that opportunity to do that. Coming up in the second hour, what you are going to hear from, again, the February 3rd and the Journey Continues open mic in that reading series. You'll hear all of the readings in this second round because the recorder seemed okay. Anyway, you'll hear readings by Chris Carney, Leo Roberts, Sarah Emtage, Jane McDonald, Laylee, Leanne Terrace, Michael Flaho, Bruce Cudmore, Sonali Samaya, Wiley, Joseph Elliott, Meg Freer, Dozy Ubozi, Callista Markotich, Liz Huntley-Yench, and then you're going to hear a second reading again with Leo Roberts and Jane McDonald, and then reading by me. And I think I'm going to have time even in this set with to play a couple of more songs. So that's what you can look forward to in this hour. Just my first mention that I do in each hour is that occasionally some poetry, spoken word, or music played on this show may contain strong language. I try to play all to preserve it as much as possible to maintain the creative integrity of both the author and the piece. My first mention each hour, too. Well, maybe not each hour, but I do that when I'm playing the open mic. Let's do that because these are readings in the round. It's just a quick explanation of what that is. Readings in the round are essentially pulled from a sign-in sheet at the door. Each poet who wants to read signs up, and when called, they read one poem. And until we go through the list of names, and then there's a short break, and then there's a second round, and that's what we are doing now. If so, let's go ahead and do this again, and I'm just going to go more straight into this time. In the second hour, again, from that February 3rd, and the journey continues, open mic in the second round. Again, readings by Chris Carney, Leo Roberts, Sarah Imtich, Jane McDonald, Laylee, Leanne Taras, Michael Flaho, Bruce Cudmore, Sonali Samaya, Wiley, Joseph Elliott, Meg Freer, Dozy Ubozi, Callista Markotich, Liz Huntley, Jens, and then Leo and Jane again, and then me. So tell you what, let's just jump right into it, and I'll catch you in a few minutes. So in about a half an hour or so. How's that? Here we go. Now. Up first in the second round, we have Chris Carney. Let's bring him up.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Been a long day, so bear with me. Some of you maybe know, others maybe don't. The Canadian military has a standing force of about 2,000 troops in Latvia at all times. For those of you who don't know where Latvia is, it's a very small country, about 3 million people, just north of Lithuania on the Russian border. So a standing force means that we have about 2,000 troops in Latvia at all times. For the purpose of training the Latvian military and providing deterrence for Russia. And what a lot of people don't know is also the Canadians have agreed that if Russia ever attacks, the Canadians will stay and defend Latvia. So last week, a young soldier passed away in Latvia. Not the circumstances of his death have not been made public, so I won't speculate to that. But today, about 200 kilometers away at the air base in Trenton, he came home, so I just wrote a little something. The repatriation of Gunner Sebastian Helmagen, February 3rd, 2026, at 1500 local. What does it really mean to serve your country? Large, trackable snowflakes flow sideways. The pallbearers march slowly against the current. Streaks of red cut through the gray of the day, giving life to my emotions. The man in front of me in rank is shaking like a leaf, but not from the cold. Who do we serve? The wind picks up as the last of the motorcade vanishes. Heavy whipping snow engulfs the airfield, trapping each of us in our own solitude. Suddenly lonely, with blurry eyes, I stare into white abyss. A paternal whisper. Do not be afraid. Thank you.
Condolences, and as we give him another hand, let's bring up Leo.
Once again, chapbook. Once again, ask me about it. It's free. You just have to ask me nicely. So Katy Perry has a new best friend. So this one is dedicated to our erstwhile Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau. So if you go on YouTube.com and type in Justin Trudeau falling down the stairs, you're going to see him perform a party trick of him falling down the stairs. So this is about that. This is a happy poem because it's about partying. I cascade down the stairs, shoulder blades graze steps, a practice harmless tumble. To sell the show, give them a thump, a whoa. One must imagine Sisyphus happy, but I am become the boulder. As I roll from the din, I breathe a reprieve, free from incessant chatter, the performance of friendship, the bottom, the prestige. I break a leg without a broken leg. I have won the social encounter.
As we bring up Sarah Emptage, let's give Leo another hand.
Yeah, what a night. Okay. So back in November, I got my winter tires on, which I am extremely glad that I did that. But while I was waiting for them to be put on the car, I was realizing I'd never written a sonnet before, and I'd been wanting to do so for ages. So I was like, I'm going to try to write a sonnet. So this is what I wrote while I was waiting at probably the A&W next to the tire place. Okay. And then I know like a really good sonnet writer. Like my favorite poet is a master of sonnets, he's a friend. So I was like, so I sent this to him on Messenger. That's where I found it, my phone. Exactly as I wrote it, and then he wrote a sonnet back in like 3 minutes. So I might share that one too. I wish to write a sonnet now. I have not tried the form before. Yet how else can I learn the how but blunder through the open door? There was a day before the day when Shakespeare wrote his very first, so I will dig the ancient clay and try my best to match his worst. I have swallowed all my teeth and I can feel them chattering. Every sonnet's breath is brief and I can see it shattering. So tell me, have I done the deed? Is this a sonnet that you read? And then he sends back very quickly. This is a sonnet that I see before me, standing on its 5 times 14 feet. Sarah has sent it forth, and she assured me that both the rhyme and meter are complete. It comes with 3 quatrains, as well it should, as Shakespearean as you or I am. There's clever shaping of the rough-hewn wood, though the last line could use an extra I am. It comes to me the day I'm 68, and prone to contemplate the swift-flown time. My sure approaching end comes soon or late, but I defy it still with idle rhyme. That's 3 quatrains composed, but don't give up yet. Everything turns upon the final couplet.
As we bring up Jane McDonald, let's give Sarah another hand.
Hi, everyone. Wow, what a night. Yeah, nice to see everybody here. I hope you can hear me, and I hope my battery doesn't go down. Lost dog. Not my dog. Somebody else's. On the neon green signs taped to posts throughout the county. In every direction you drive, there's another one. Capital letters. Lost dog. Do not chase. They've given a photo. Elderly face of a dog, no name. What are we supposed to do? Call the number? The area code is Toronto. Will they race down the highway while you hold on to their dog? Dogs must die every day. Trucks, cars, various other superior machinery, or let's face it, out and out cruelty away from roads. Perhaps this one gave himself over to coyotes, separated from his people, or escaped, willfully running in old age into death's certain mouth. Every day someone dies, there aren't enough posts. And if there were, how far would we travel saying, see you later? You died last week. The days intervening accumulate the way the snow has blanketed edges in white, has transformed fences, low-lying bushes, that clot of earth. It's blurred the outlines, blended them, I could almost say obliterated, but you wouldn't have put it that way.
And as we give Jane another hand, let's bring up Laylee.
I did all my best to write a happy poem, but this is the happiest that I could go. This is inspired by Lord Alfred Tennyson's poem Ulysses. A shell made of pearl. I have decided to stay on a positive note and write about life rather than its opposite. To inspire myself, I'm thinking of Tennyson's Ulysses and the lines I once badly loved, which said, I cannot rest from travel. I will drink life to the lees. With travel being travel, Ulysses, the one and only name to fall for, and lees, the sediment at the bottom of a wine cask, this metaphor at once rips off the heart of any young head who naively thinks that life deserves to be sailed and savored to its final moment without holding a back. Leaving a good portion of my life behind as a traveler on quest, I have already passed the seven seas, climbing many magical mountains. And if not exactly in a mythical way, I have rolled down some snake-deep valleys, bewitched many a time by alluring songs of lustful sirens in seductive islands. And throughout this journey, indeed, I have encountered many pilgrims who not only drank life to the lees, but also ate it, sexed it, built it, burned it, hailed it, failed it, even got rid of it, all full-heartedly consuming its bottom to the fullest. Looking back at my own journey and the atlas within, I now can see for clear that the only one thing I have been doing all along has been carrying this life upon my fragile back, dragging it and myself across wastelands, drilling silence and pain. After all these long and tiring years, I still snail my way through this thorny passage ahead, moving with ultimate care, through treacherous plains, glazed with some dark frozen tar, by an unknown deliberate will to ruthlessly wipe out any visible trail that I might have left behind to prove that I did also try to live this life to full, even if just by following the only star that I came to have. And that I did strive hard to crown this fatigued and bruised body with an elegant shell of pearl that I patiently grew and fed with these bare and empty hands at my own unbounded pace, just to pretend that protection can be a kind of romantic creed. In spite of all this, I'm still on sailing, craving for the ocean salt, jostling out of crazy waters after each crushing storm, watchful for the beam of light that might be torching out from the grieving eye of a majestic white whale I once knew from my dreams. Heading to a place where Ulysses would have called home, I feel no need for any blessing to pass me safe. I wait for no favorable wind, desiring no knocking wine to numb the blow, for I have already hit and passed the leesless bottom of this and every other life. Thank you.
As we bring up Leanne, let's give Laylee another hand.
poem, the line, Shakespeare's line, "Give sorrow words," from Macbeth, was given to us last week in the Writers Collective of Canada creative writing course I've been enjoying. It doesn't have a title yet. "Give sorrow words. To speak or at least express grief relieves and releases the heart. Sorrow, smothered and stifled, withheld deep within, festers like the untended wound it is. In time, hardening over, but never lanced, never purged, never healed. Like a callus, coarse and rough to the touch, you keep circling back to it. Like a blister on one's heel, it's prone to chafing, opening up, peeling back, oozing, becoming once again raw. To form into words, your sorrow unburdens, though never erases."
As we bring up Michael, let's give Leanne another hand.
John? Okay. This one is quite light and airy compared to some of the others. Involves a little bit of gravity, a little bit of flying. I used to fly for real. Now I write flight simulation software. Anyway, this is The Encounter. On a summer's day, with no reason in mind, I took off from an airfield and flew into the sky. I climbed away towards the sunlit blue and aimed for the space between the clouds. With altitude, their whiteness grew. Earthly thoughts fell away, for now all was large. The space, the sky was now in charge. No destination in mind but height, the goal easy in this small advanced ultralight. Alone in the sky, with skills and eyes, familiar danger kept far, if wise. Up we went, and far below, the fields and towns of Ontario. Between cloud walls of white, of dew in flight, our small craft rose until those clouds so light became now the floor of a new earth, a newer space. Those fields below them, the stranger place. Just above the cloud tops in beauty, I did race in gorgeous light, and the solitude was grace. To my left, a sudden dot slowly approached. What was this my eye had caught? But grew it did, same height as me, and when close enough could finally see a flock of silver and black geese commuting in the vastness above the cloudy fleece. Who was more surprised, I cannot say. I turned the plane to flank their way, and being in a suitable aircraft, slowed right down. The flock did not deviate at all. Up here, they wear the crown. I settled 200 feet away, closer caused their rhythm to fray. I slowed and slowed, 35 miles per hour, cruised with them near stall for half an hour. Their acceptance of a stranger in flight, joining their world, an unimagined sublime delight. And so we flew and flew, their grace an extraordinary gift. No camera, no witnesses, no artifice to cause perceptions shift. It came time to part, time to yield. I banked away, began descent from 1,000 feet towards the fields, incredulous at the gift I had been handed. In thankfulness and some regret, I landed. A new warmth into my spirit had now been placed, and who or what to thank was something new to chase.
Let's give Michael another hand. Let's bring up Bruce.
Hello again. Got a short poem with a musical theme called Light in Your Music. When you play that chord, I hear your voices. They rise and fall and congregate in the next measure. Resolution is swallowed by tension. Tension worked out or not by quick stepping lifts. There's light in your music. Notes shine in my ears for years after. Play another one.
So we bring up Sonali. Let's give Bruce another hand.
I forgot to write this one in my book. I don't like reading off my phone. Sorry. Someday I'll take my children here. Braids with bows and hands that hold my pinky. A husband that knows me and loves me endlessly. I'll show my children the paths I once stood in alone. And I'll show them our first shitty apartment that we called home. I'll teach my children the love you taught me. And you'll embrace them with the acceptance I've shown you. Our children will love us. And someday I'll show them the bricks you've laid, and you'll tell them stories of gardens that were once paved, and then they'll know that their mother and father peeled off concrete and built shelter that reaches beyond the clouds because of them. And that phrase, because of them, won't sting like burdens that they can't carry, but instead ring like church bells. Mom loves because of us. Dad builds because of us. There is a family to hold, and it is because of us. Someday I'll take my children here and hope that they see further than the naked eye. I'll take my children to the place that I only knew existed in fairy tales and storybooks. I'll take my children to grounds that they'll never question and ones that they'll plant roots in. One day, my children will sit in the very emotions that I understood as temporary, and they will call it home.
As we bring up Wiley, let's give Sonali another hand.
This poem is about family. The last line of it is actually just a quote from a comic book. It's from the comic Shazam. For those of you who don't know, Shazam is a young orphan boy who's granted these magical powers. The wizard Shazam tells him that he can share these powers with his family, and he's like, I'm an orphan, like, I don't have a family. But he's like, no, like, you do have a family. Like, sometimes we kind of forget that our family isn't just who we're born into. Our family can be who we meet, our friends, the people we choose around us. So this poem is about that sort of family for me. So, I was the co-maid of honor at my best friend's wedding, as well as a groomsman for her husband. I knew most of the guests. People were happy to see me. They asked how things were going, my views, my opinions, and whatnot. I gave a speech, and people listened. Then I came back home. No one asked me about the wedding or how I was doing. They just talked about who was playing that day, how the Cowboys season was going. I don't watch football or any sport outside of the PBR. So I just sat there, eating in silence, in my childhood home on Thanksgiving Day, surrounded by my whole family, and I had never felt so alone, so unheard, unseen. I guess that's because I wasn't with my real family. They were in Etobicoke, having their own Thanksgiving. All this goes to show, family is what it can be, not what it should be. Thank you.
So we bring up Joseph. Let's give Wiley another hand.
Sorry to give an introduction that's slightly longer than the poem, but I injured my neck while sleeping, and then I grabbed a drink with a friend who, through similar circumstances, was complaining of a pain in his back, and so I wrote this one. Beer foam, rounding memories by the decade. Beer foam, rounding memories by the decade. Thank you. As we give Joseph another hand, let's bring up Meg.
This poem came out of trying to find some beauty in looking at the Invista power plant or whatever factory across the lake. Like moonshine on the water, the capacity to form memories gets overloaded when too much of value happens in one day. The way late evening reflections in the lake become blurred by a mix of early fall fog and factory emissions. The way the where and when of someone you've just met fades too quickly. Tilt this scene for optimal effect. It fades too quickly when and where you've just met someone. The way factory emissions merge with early fall fog to blur the lake's late evening reflections. Or when so much of value happens in a day, it overloads our capacity to form memories. Change perspective, alter the scene as moon shimmers ruffle the water.
So give Meg another hand, let's bring up Irfan again.
Do you have another one?
Oh, okay, my fault. I try to do this so that doesn't happen anyway. Sorry. Let's bring up Dozy.
Okay, so this one brings a modern twist to the ancient ritual of partying, in my case specifically clubbing. It's inspired by the rituals of a Greek god called Dionysus, the Greek god of disorder and wine. I'm sure there's more than that, but those two were my focus. It's called Bacchantes. The flow of unbridled passions lives in these doors. Pay for your ecstasy. It wasn't fun in the moment, but reflection breeds the fondness. It's not like you never tried. Look back and say, I tried. Bloodlust and violent inclinations live in these doors. It's a portal to the seemingly unending bacchanal. Bacchanal? The gods reach hysteria through laughter as we swarm like particles to the unknown.
To bring up Callista, let's give Dozy another hand.
So, my husband is a World War II buff. He especially likes the Pacific Theater, but we follow when we spent any time in France, we had to do all the invasion beaches. And it was an adventure. This one is called Holiday in France. It was a German military cemetery above an invasion beach. I remember the grasses sprang with crickets along the rows, softened by decades and coastal rains to emerald alleys with gravestones shaped like lozenges. And the bright Atlantic glittered her sapphires below us. And you performed some small subtractions with the numbers on the stones. And I followed you into the simple math. 16 15, 17. They were boys. Boys. Bikes dropped curbside. School books jumbled into tottering stacks. Pitchforks standing in the hay, and little brothers jumping up and down outside the windows of the train. Mother's hankies fluttering long goodbyes. How long did it take to thread a through line from tight throats and welling eyes into the mortal dark disclosures in the red, wet maw of war's beast? How long to pull the curtains closed across eyes of boys, across the bluest sky of Normandy? I remember the pergola with the visitors' log, where people could write things down, how my fingers twisted the chain of the pen, and you, schooled from youth, to keep the tumult of the heart within that sturdy pump, said, "Cal, you don't have to write anything if there's nothing you can say." Below us, the Atlantic shrugged her shining shoulders, the beautiful, helpless sea.
To bring up Liz, let's give Callista another hand.
This is a bit of an older poem. I wrote it before my third son was invented. I used the word twice, and I guess I could revise it and say thrice, but I didn't really want to use thrice in a poem. So it's called Cell Division. Twice my pelvis split like the maw of a bear and roared out a child. Soft furred rabbits, eyes closed to the world, huddle for days against my skin. But too soon they become sequined, scaled things with teeth and claws and needs. Like tadpoles, seemingly overnight they grow long-limbed and leap away from my watery body to explore the forest with wolfish appetites and lamplight eyes. Then feathered and bird-boned, they climbed the highest branches, and as my own vision wanes, they become the eyes with which I gaze down at the earth. Through them, I am everywhere. Look up. There we are, Ursa Major, Ursa Minor, a string of stars, infinite and explosive.
Before we go any farther, let's give Liz another hand, but as we do that too, let's give Anthea a hand for taking great care of us tonight. This is her last night. So thank you, Anthea, for all the times that you were here for us. So you've done a great job again tonight and all the other nights before as well. Got just a tiny bit of time. Chris, I think you said you had another poem. No? Leo. Let's bring up Leo again.
I'm in the same writer's workshop as Leanne. That's where I wrote the Justin Trudeau thingy and where I wrote this thingy. So here we go. I was born ashore. The seaside dappled with scattered stars that murmured lulling stories, tucked me in with sea foam. But the pile of yesterdays grew, blotting out what I used to know. I swaddle myself at night as if I'm no longer afraid of the dark. I do not drift off to sleep. I cast off with maritime struggle on an expedition for tomorrow in search for something at sea. As if there were something at sea.
Sarah, did you say you had a second poem?
No.
Okay, Jane?
Sure.
Okay, let's bring up Jane. Let's give Leo another hand and bring up Jane.
Here. It's a brand new one, so it doesn't have a title.
Along the cedar rail fence, bony witness trees rattle the air in pink, and junipers absorb cold rays that are gold. Deep as post holes, my footprints wade toward me, madder blue shadowed. The wind takes my ears and worries them, and from beyond the wetlands that are sheeted in white, a machine sounds in monotone, its driver concentrating on the levers in his hands. Politicians twist, newsreaders recite anything but what's true. From the south, tip to tip, two ravens dive precisely, disappear at once. There is no reason the sun, through the ink-dark brush, should burn golden passages. Last night, you argued with my poetry, why so dire? As if I might stop looking. The ravens leave a silence that was not there before.
As we give Jane another hand, why don't we give everybody who's read tonight, and yourselves included, a hand as well. Thank you all for coming out. It is all of you that make this the wonderful reading series that it is. So thank you very much for coming out. Next one here is on the, what is today, the 3rd? So it'll be the 3rd of March as well. So first Tuesday of the month. And to take us out of here, this is just called Seasons. After the rusted colors of autumn, winter wants to wash everything white. The green's whispers are still too far in the distance and time to hear. And spring, yes, beautiful in its awakening, but comes with it as well, the rain, the mud, the muck. And summer, that seems nearly everyone's favorite, comes still with its more than not oppressive heat. And I am left in the all of then and in all of these other than autumn, sitting here again wishing for rust. Thank you.
The morning sky, all the birds are leaving. Ah, how can they know it's time for them to go? Before I do not count the time. Who knows where the time goes? Who knows where the time goes? Deserted shore, your fickle friend. but then you know it's time for them to go. But I will still be here. I have no thought of leaving. I do not.
Just heard in this second hour from again that February 3rd and the Journey Continues open mic readings at the Elm in that second round by Chris Carney, Leo Roberts, Sarah Emtage, Jane McDonald, Laylee, Leanne Terrace, Michael Flaho, Bruce Cudmore, Sonali Samaya, Wiley, Joseph Elliott, Meg Freer, Dozy Ubosi, Kalista Markotic, Liz Huntley-Yench, and then again Leo and Jane, and then my reading. And then you just heard Judy Collins, Who Knows Where the Time Goes. The song was written by Sandy Denny, and I'm imagining probably recorded it first, but I'm not sure about that. But for Judy, this was, I think it first appeared on an album of hers from her November 1968 album called, well, there you go. It's the title song, Who Knows Where the Time Goes. So anyway, I think my information is pretty correct, so I'm going to stick with it. Anyway, it is coming up to 50 minutes after 5 o'clock, so let's do this real quick, and then I will be right back.
Friday evenings at 6 p.m. here on CFRC, listen to Saltwater Music, a show covering all musical genres from the East Coast of Canada. Celtic, of course, but also rock, jazz, blues, folk, and a lot more. I'm your host, Rob Carnell. Tune in to Saltwater Music Friday evenings from 6 to 8 here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Or you can catch us on the web at www.cfrc.ca. And for our listeners out east, that's 7 p.m. Atlantic and 7:30 Newfoundland.
Hello and welcome to Salt Licked in Rapture. I'm your host, Nishan Tung.
Saltlicht in Rapture is a sonic exploration of, to quote Virginia Woolf, violent waves of emotion. Featuring both known and lesser-known musicians and poets, a special emphasis is placed on oddball, enigmatic, outsider artists whose work invokes dreamscapes and feelings of alienation, nostalgia, melancholy, existential unease, and yearning. Join me on Fridays at 8 p.m. on CFRC 101.9 FM.
And you are and have been listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. We are, again, located in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce. I'm here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. We do stream live online as well at www.cfrc.ca. It's about 51 and a half minutes after 5 o'clock, so there's a tiny bit of time for me to mention a few upcoming events and a final song to take us out of here just before 6 p.m. But the first thing I'd like to do is thank all of you very much for having tuned in to the show today. I would also like to thank those who participated in the open mic event that evening, and to, again, our barista Anthea, who's taken good care of us there for quite a few months, and so definitely, and before that even sporadically, but here consecutively for maybe close to half a year, it's been very nice. So we wish Anthea all the best, and of course always to the Elm Cafe for being such caring and supportive hosts for this event. Quickly here, I've got just a minute or two. There are three quickly upcoming events. The first one is in Hamilton on Sunday night. It's a first, first Sunday evening of the month event. It happens, and that is from September to June. Its door is pay what you can. They do suggest $5 to $10. They do have a Facebook page. I'd suggest you go there for the most up-to-date information. It's held at the Staircase Cafe and Theater, 21 Dundurn Street, there we go, north in Hamilton, March 1st, so it's coming up, 7 p.m. Also, I'm checking my time here. Okay. Coming up more locally, you've been listening to it today. So the journey continues, the next one in the series, at the Elm Cafe, 303 Montreal Street. Coming up March 3rd, Tuesday, first Tuesday night of the month. Doors 6:30, runs from 7 to 9:15 p.m. It's a free event. Then also that same evening, another first Tuesday night of the month open mic event. It is in Madoc with host TJ Best. They do have a Facebook page too, so be sure and check there. But that theirs happens at Finn's Pub and Patio. It's 231 Durham Street. I guess that's why I got them all mixed up earlier. Durham Street South in Madoc. Coming up Tuesday, March 3rd, 7 to 9 p.m. And again, thank all of you so very much for tuning in today. A quick reminder before we move on is that sometimes that I just want to remind you, usually at the end of each hour, is that I upload all these shows to my personal blog space for it shortly after I get home at Finding a Voice on CFRCFM.wordpress.com. They do remain there for 3 years. I hope you can stay tuned for the top of the hour, 2 hours of East Coast music in a show called Saltwater Music. Hosted by Rob Carnell, so that's coming up right after I play this final song. Final song I'm going to share with you today is Joni Mitchell, and let's see, fine print here, but let's see if I can make it out. The song is called Both Sides Now. It was written, it says, in the spring of 1965, and it was from a May Hermé 1969 second album, Clouds. So to take us out of here, here is Joni Mitchell. Have a great week, everybody. Again, thanks.
Rose and flows of angel hair and ice cream castles in the air and feather canyons everywhere. I've looked at clouds that weave, but now they only block the sun. They rain and snow on everyone. So many things I would have done, but clouds got in my way. I've looked at clouds. Something's gained in living it.